We're doing our class Judaism head to toe, and we're up to the neck. So what can you say about the neck? So we discussed shaving, and we discussed wearing necklaces. So now the Talmud says that the neck is where they kill people. So we're going to discuss life, okay? We won't discuss killing. There's a question that comes up often, and people unfortunately don't know the halacha, and it's very important, and it's the question of pikuach nefesh. So we think that's obvious. It's not at all obvious. The halacha says if someone's life is in danger, then we have to take care to make sure that they're saved. The halacha says, what happens if we're not sure if someone's life is in danger? A wall fell down, and we're not sure if there's a human being there or a cat. I'm not sure. Something's moving down there. I don't know. There are all the time cats walking next to that wall. Sometimes my neighbor. I'm not sure if my neighbor is down there. So I have to desecrate Shabbos to uncover it. Safek pikuach nefesh. Even when I'm not sure if there's a danger to human life, I still have to desecrate Shabbos to try and save in the event that there is a human life down there. I have to. So the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh is we save a life when we can. And even if I'm not sure if someone's life is in danger, I have to. So where does this come up? Here's where it comes up. True story. 5 years ago, there's a knock on our door Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning? Friday night, I guess. I don't remember. So it was Friday night or Shabbos morning. A guy's father was visiting him. And his father wasn't feeling well. And his father boarded a plane 2 hours before Shabbos. His father was not Shabbos observant. And his father boarded the plane 2 hours before Shabbos. And ever since the guy came knocking on the door, for the last hour, his phone has been ringing nonstop. Phone ringing nonstop. And he doesn't recognize the number. He has no idea who's calling him. So he says it could be his father had a medical emergency. He wasn't feeling well when he boarded the plane. And now people are calling. Does he have to answer? Maybe it's someone doing sales. Maybe it's someone calling the wrong number. Is he supposed to answer on Shabbos? So he said no. And his wife said yes. So they came knocking on the door. What should they do? So we have a question. Maybe someone has a medical emergency, and there's room to think that it's relevant. On a regular Shabbos, when your phone rings nonstop, you assume it's a salesman, right? But in this case, he knew his father wasn't feeling well. He knew there was a medical problem. And now, a few hours later, his phone is ringing nonstop, so he does have to answer the phone. People sometimes have relatives in all kinds of situations in the hospital. Rav Pinsky was I don't remember the details of the story. I told this story over about 4 years ago. He had to give a message to his neighbor across the street whose husband was deathly ill in the hospital. So he asked his daughter if she could cross the street and tell the wife. So the daughter said, "Abba, we have a telephone. Why don't we just call and tell him? Tell her." And Rav Pinsky said, because every time the phone rings in that house, undoubtedly the woman is scared. She's waiting for that call where they tell her her husband died. I'm not going to give her that pain of calling her, and then she answers the phone and it's just us. So we'll go over and knock on the door and you'll tell her whatever the message was. I don't remember what the details were. So there are scenarios where we have to be aware that the phone might ring and there's a medical emergency. And people sometimes don't take the phone with them. You know how many times I've gone to shul with a cell phone in my pocket? Not a very rabbinic thing to do, right? But there are situations where people have medical emergencies, and there can be situations where a specific person can give input that can change a person's life and be the difference between life and death. We have that responsibility. And people hesitate on pikuach nefesh. There are special apps for it. Okay?
So you approach your rabbi,
should
I give you a telephone number?
Oh, okay.
And
I hear. I had once where a person had to be hospitalized, and they had a cuckoo relative who decided that it was taking them out of the hospital. And the hospital said it was a danger to take this person out of the hospital, and their legal guardian decided they're taking them out anyways. And then I was on the phone going into Shabbos. I was standing by the window watching people go to shul, almost watching people come back from shul, standing there on the phone going into Shabbos, on the phone with the police and with the hospital staff to get the person hospitalized because his life was in danger. So he had a guardian who was not 100%, and it was pikuach nefesh. So here I am on the phone going into Shabbos, watching everyone else walking to shul, and I'm still talking on the phone. Right? But we hesitate on pikuach nefesh. We shouldn't hesitate. When we think there might be pikuach nefesh, we have to act. My first Shabbos in Kochav Yaakov, there was a kiddush. So I'm the new young rabbi. Very nice. A lady comes over and says, "Welcome to the community." My husband says hello. He can't be here because our daughter is homesick. So I wanted to be polite, so I said, "Well, is your daughter okay? What's doing?" So she says, "Well, we're not sure. She was in the hospital until Shabbos, and then we wanted her home for Shabbos, and then she developed a fever. But now we think she's okay, but it could be just because she's under the influence of the aspirin we gave her. But really, a fever might be dangerous for her, but we hope she's okay." So it's Shabbos morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. So what do? I tug my beard, and I say, "Oh, I guess this is my calling, right?" And I walk home, I say, "Let's go see your daughter and your husband." And I come home, and I see the release papers. And they didn't understand the hospital correctly. On the release papers it says, "We recommended leave the girl in the hospital." And they decided they wanted her home for Shabbos. So under their responsibility, we released the girl. And now the girl developed a fever. But it's 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, and the girl doesn't have a fever. But we don't know. Maybe she doesn't have a fever because they gave her aspirin. Maybe she doesn't have a fever because she ended with the fever. So I said, "What instructions did you have from the hospital?" "Well, if she develops a fever, they do want her back." So I said, "Then I think you have to go back to the hospital." So they said, "But she doesn't have a fever now." I said, "But you gave her an aspirin 4 hours ago." They said, "Yeah, let's wait a few hours and see when it wears off if she has a fever." I said, "Who said you're allowed to wait those hours?" They said, "It's Shabbos, you're a rabbi." I said, "I know it's Shabbos, and I think you have to go to the hospital." And they said, "It's Shabbos." So I said, "Let's ask the doctor." They said, "It's Shabbos." I said, "If you don't want to call, I'll call." So they looked at me like this weirdo from us, who knows what. I said, "Just give me the number and the phone and I'll call." And I called the rabbi. So here I am, my first Shabbos in Kochav Yaakov, dialing on Shabbos to the doctor. So I call up the doctor, and I say, he's not a Shabbos observant Jew, but he was on vacation and he didn't want to hear from me. So I said, "You know, this is your patient." He says, "Yes." I said, "A few hours ago she had a fever." He said, "Then go back to the hospital." I said, "They gave her aspirin and now she has no fever." He says, "Does she have or doesn't she have?" I said, "Right now she doesn't have, but we don't know why." He said, "Then go to the hospital." I said, "You're saying she has to be hospitalized now, or you're saying we don't know, or you're saying, what are you telling me?" He said, "I'm telling you, I don't want to answer you. It's Shabbos, and it's my day off, and if you don't know, then go to the hospital. Goodbye," and hung up. Now what? I don't have an answer from the doctor, right? The doctor said, "I'm not answering you. If you have a question, go to the hospital. Don't call me at home." Do we go to the hospital? So the answer is, if I don't know, she has to go to the hospital. I have a question whether her life is in danger. I don't know, right? She might have a fever right now. She had a fever 4 hours ago. There's definitely room to be concerned. This girl was hospitalized for the last 4 days. So there's room to be concerned. We're not sure. When we're not sure, we don't know what's going to happen with this girl as we wait and see if her fever comes back and what's been happening inside her all day. So the answer is go to the hospital. So there I am feeling really lousy because I say, "You guys don't speak Hebrew well enough. I see you didn't understand the release letter. Which neighbor can go with you to the hospital?" So they say, "You want a neighbor to desecrate Shabbos too?" I say, "Yeah." Yeah, because the treatment you get is different if you understand what the doctors are talking about and not. And if you could express to the doctors what happened to the girl, they might give her better treatment. They might understand better. So yes, I want a neighbor to come with you. And we went knocking on a neighbor's door, and I sent them off to the hospital on Shabbos. Mother, daughter, neighbor. And I came home and I told my wife, oh my gosh, am I off to a bad start here. Oh boy. I said, chances are they're going to come home Matzei Shabbos, and here's what they're going to say. This new rabbi ruined our Shabbos for nothing. The girl was perfectly fine. The doctor said everything was fine. And two people desecrated Shabbos plus the girl, and we didn't have a normal Shabbos. Thanks, right? I said, what a start. Okay. I was really unhappy, but I couldn't think. I said to myself, this is what's right. This is what I have to do. Okay, you do what you have to do. Matzei Shabbos. Could be that drive to the hospital saved the girl's life. Could be. Because she was hospitalized for another week. The situation was really severe, and she needed it. But I didn't know that. The story could have ended with them returning home Matzei Shabbos and saying everything was okay, it was a false alarm, there was no problem, and what I told them was still the right answer. It wouldn't have felt, you know, now the end of the story is like, wow, what a great story. No, it would have been a great story even if they would have come home Matzei Shabbos. But then I would have felt like a dunce. But the truth is, the halacha says, when you're not sure, safek pikuach nefesh, you have to act. You can't say, I don't know, so it's okay. Our responsibility is, when there's room for doubt, someone's life might be in danger, I have to act. The Chazon Ish was lying in bed sick. And he asked the student, I need a medication right now. And the student couldn't find it. And he told the student, turn on the light and give me the medication, please. And the student said, I'll get to it in a second. I'm looking. I don't want to turn on the light. It's Shabbos. And by the time the student found the medication, the Chazon Ish was dead. That was how the Chazon Ish ended his life, with a student who said, in a minute. The Chazon Ish asked him, turn on the light and bring me the medication. There's a similar story about the Chafetz Chaim. He was in danger in a city, and he sent word to a nearby city, and he said, I hear that right now the war is approaching my town. I need you to send me a caravan right now to take me out of here. It was Shabbos. So the group of rabbis that received the letter, they said, we'll wait till Matzei Shabbos. And then one of them said, look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Chafetz Chaim says, someone tells you on Shabbos, he needs you to send the caravan. You send the caravan now. And had they waited till Matzei Shabbos, the Chafetz Chaim wouldn't have been alive. We can't wait. We can't say, oh, it's going to be okay. No. If there's room to think there's a danger, we have to deal. Pikuach nefesh. We have to know to be machmir in pikuach nefesh. And we have a responsibility. That means it's always good to ask a question if I have the time. But the halacha says if there's a pikuach nefesh happening now, someone's life is in danger, and someone decides, let me go and ask the question, that's considered he's a murderer. Shofech damim, the halacha says. You're not allowed to take the time to go and ask questions. We were standing in yeshiva about 17 years ago, and a student fainted. The week before his wedding. We're standing in yeshiva. I still remember who the guy was. And suddenly, boom, a guy falls to the floor. From the front row, the rabbi who sat on one of the high courts of Israel ran to call an ambulance. He was the one. He didn't say, one of the students run and call an ambulance. He ran. That's what we passed in halacha. Matzilin chayin, we save life. Bigdoli Yisrael. The greatest people of Israel run to do it. So, about, how many years ago? I don't know, about 7 years ago. My wife was in her 9th month. And Friday night, my wife tells me, looks like things are happening. Looks like contractions are starting. So I was prepared. I had the telephone numbers of Arab taxi drivers so that we shouldn't have to use a Jew. If I could use an Arab, why should I use a Jew, right? Okay, I told my wife, should we go to the hospital yet? She said no. I said, what do you want to do now? She said, I'm okay. You get some rest so you could be with me the continuation of the way. So I went to sleep for a few hours that Friday night. And my wife wakes me at some point, 2-3 in the morning, and she says, it's time to go to the hospital. I said, fine. I call Arab taxi driver number 1. And I had asked them all before Shabbos, can I call you in the middle of the night if I need you Friday night? And they said yes. So I did. Arab taxi driver number one says, no, it's late, I'm not coming. Okay? I call Arab taxi driver number two. He doesn't answer the phone. I call Arab taxi driver number three. He says, I'm coming. Fine. After 15 minutes, at least he called me back and said, I'm not coming. He could have not called me back. At least he called me back. I said, why aren't you coming? Now, he makes good money on this. He said, I'm scared they'll throw rocks at me if I drive into Arnof on Shabbos. I'm not willing to come in. You couldn't tell me that Friday. Now my wife's already contracting. Now she's already at a point where I got to go. So I called the ambulance, and 10 minutes later we were in an ambulance, and she gave birth. Mamash, we made it to the hospital. I think we were in the birthing room. 10 minutes later she gave birth. So we didn't have time to play around. And then I looked back and I said, wait a second. Why doesn't Halacha say you desecrate Shabbos with the giants of Israel? So if you have a reliable non-Jew to take you, if you have someone who you can trust that they're going to come through when you need them, so then it's better to use a non-Jew. Why should I if I have that luxury, I have that ability. But once I reached a point where I wasn't sure if I had that ability, so that's it. I did it. 4 years ago, we were expecting again, Baruch Hashem, and it was Friday night, and my wife said, we got to go. We were in Kochav Yaakov. So it's 2 in the morning. I got a bunch of kids. And I don't have family around, right? So I go knocking by a neighbor, and I said, can you come be with the kids? They said, yes. I said, good. So let me call an ambulance from your house. I call the ambulance. It's a cordless phone. I call the ambulance. We agree they're coming. And then I'm holding the cordless phone asking myself, do I hang up? It's Shabbos. That's another act on Shabbos, hanging up the phone. I'm again pushing the buttons. I said, yes, I'm hanging up, because it could be the ambulance won't find the house, and then they'll call back. And if the phone's off the hook, they won't be able to get through. What's that? That's the concept we just spoke about. Safek pikuach nefesh. There's no one's life in danger right now. There's a question. It could be that in a minute, that phone being hung up will make the difference. So for that doubt, I hung up. That's exactly what happened. I hung up the phone before I left the neighbor's house. The phone rang back. The ambulance was calling saying, we can't find your house. So I need to guide them. But when I hung up the phone, I didn't know that, right? So is it the right thing to hang up the phone? The answer is yes. Safek pikuach nefesh. Shabbos morning, a year ago, a diabetic knocks on the door. He's not feeling well. And his blood pressure isn't where it should be. And based on my understanding of where he was, he needed to be hospitalized. So I said to the guy, I would like you to go to the hospital. I think you have to be seen by a medical team. And the guy goes, it's Shabbos. And I go, it's your life. And he says, I think I can handle it until the end of Shabbos. And I said, I think isn't enough. I think isn't enough. You think, we have to check. So I call and I get him to the hospital. So in all of these stories, there were situations where you could say, let's wait, let's see, who knows. Yeah, that who knows is called Safek Pikuach Nefesh. And for a Safek, when I'm not sure, then I have to desecrate Shabbos. We treat Safek Pikuach Nefesh as something that requires us to move and make sure the person's life is safe. Now, we'll end with a few pointers. I need you to shift the drop because the camera shifted this way now. Now we're on camera. Okay, you shook off. Thank you. So there was an old man in an old age home who was ill. They called the Jewish doctor who lived a half hour away. They said, we want you to come down to take care of the man. They hung up the phone with the doctor, and the old man died. So they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and they asked him, should we call the doctor? Because he's going to desecrate Shabbos now so many times, driving all the way here on Shabbat. Should we call the doctor and tell him that the man died and there's nothing for him to come for? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said no. So they said, why? What about all his desecration of Shabbos? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, he's allowed to. Based on what he knows, there's pikuach nefesh right now. Based on his information that's available to him, he has a mitzvah to drive to the old age home this Shabbos. you know something he doesn't know? That doesn't change his mitzvah. Based on what he knows, he has a mitzvah. Where is this super relevant to us? Those of you who will serve in the army, Be'ezrat Hashem. So there are times that army commanders tell the soldiers, it's pikuach nefesh. You have to do this on Shabbos. There are Jewish lives at risk. And the soldier doesn't have enough information to second guess the commander. You don't know. You have to trust them. You have no way of second guessing them. It's almost impossible that you know better. It's rare that you really know better. The commander says, wash the dishes. You say, don't we usually do it Matzei Shabbos? He says, it's pikuach nefesh, you have to do it on Shabbos. You say, with hot water? He says, yes, pikuach nefesh, do it. Do you know? Maybe war's about to break out? Maybe you're about to advance into enemy territory? Maybe those dishes have to be clean, so the next soldiers have clean dishes because there's a huge mitzah about to happen? You don't know. So now, based on what we learned from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, what's your mitzvah? Your mitzvah is to act. Based on what you know, you have to act. After Shabbos, you find out he was just bluffing. It's a lie. Sue him. There's a martial court you're allowed to, and you're supposed to sue him. If you sue him, then the next general won't play that game with the next soldier. Did you do a mitzvah or an aveira? If you did it on Shabbos, you did a mitzvah. Because you had to work based on your information, just like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said. You did nothing wrong. The general did something wrong, and that's why it's important to sue him, because that will not only ensure he doesn't do it again, it will ensure throughout the army that other generals know that they can't get away with doing such a thing. So you have to sue. But did you do something wrong? No. You're perfectly okay. Based on your information set, you have to act. So what we discussed today is pikuach nefesh. It overrides almost every mitzvah other than idol worship, killing someone, right? And committing one of the illicit relationships. We desecrate Shabbos for safek pikuach nefesh, even when we're not sure. So long as there's room to think there's pikuach nefesh involved, we have to act. We said gdolei Yisrael, you don't try to look for someone small. The giants of Israel do it. We said we rush to do it. We don't wait. Maybe someone else will do it. If it's necessary, we deal. If a person takes the time to ask a question, he's considered a murderer. Unless for sometimes there are scenarios where you know you have a few hours. So then you have to find out. If you have the time, you have to find out. But if you don't know if you have the time, then you have to deal. And we said that if you work based on your information, and then turns out you didn't have the right information, that's not your fault. You still did a mitzvah of saving a life. So that's as far as pikuach nefesh. Yes, sir.
Pikuach nefesh apply to non-Jews?
In general, yes. It deserves a broader discussion. In general, yes. We say even though they're... In general, yes. It's a long discussion, but in general, yes.